Okay. Wow. I tell you what, I was sitting over there watching all the pins, and what I, one of the things I love, because, you know, when you're brand new, you have to walk across stage. It's funny how you forget who you are, you know, who your support team is, just kind of get that, you know, but once you do it more and more, it becomes a natural thing. And I am just really proud to have been here this weekend to see all you guys moving on. And if I can just encourage you to keep the excitement, don't get too sexy for yourself, because that's right. Keep that excitement, keep the fire, keep cheering each other on, because, you know, it's a good competition, you know, because you see one person that maybe got in the business maybe at the same time you didn't, and they're moving on a little bit quicker than you are. That's healthy. That's good, because you want to keep up, because when you succeed, they succeed, and vice versa. And when everybody succeeds, it's a win-win deal, don't you think? So keep that excitement, you guys. We're excited just to be here, and kind of I want to share with you, because it is getting late, just real quick kind of where we came from and a little bit of our background and a few of the challenges. Like Nick said, sometimes you forget, because we've had a great lifestyle. It's not a diamond lifestyle, but it's pretty darn good. And we are very thankful and very blessed that Gerald and Leslie became our mentors of the business early on and believed in us, because I was not an excited individual at all. I'm surprised Nick stayed married to me. I was the kind of person, you know, I was working full-time, he was working full-time, he was in construction, I was in banking, and I thought we were doing okay, you know, compared to who? People you hang around with making pretty much the same amount of money. And, you know, we take our vacations and we'd settle for the garden view instead of the ocean view. And, you know, we'd only eat two meals a day instead of three, because we could only afford two meals a day, you know. And so we were settling for what we could afford, which was very little. And Nick saw this business opportunity from his brothers, and he got excited. Can you imagine Nick excited? Yeah. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He wakes up happy. It's a great thing. A little getting used, hard to get used to sometimes, but and I knew Nick was an entrepreneur. I knew he wanted to do something different. You know, he went to go work for his dad because he thought he'd own his own business, and then he realized the business owned his father. And he didn't want to do that. And he talked about that today. And I remember him coming home to me and saying, "Hey, Holly, this is a great business opportunity. We're going to be rich. We're going to have our life. We're going to have time with our kids." And I'm like, "Yeah, right." You know, I just had that, you know, my window was not, it was a little teeny bit open, but barely, you know, and he's very persistent, and you've got to come to this meeting. He's a doctor, very successful in his practice, but I mean, I see the vision, I see this opportunity, and I don't want to work till I'm dead. I don't want to keep doing what I'm doing. What I do, Nick was allergic to the materials he used on a daily basis. So if you can imagine coming home day in and day out, having rashes on your arms and on the front of you, and you know that's not fun. And he knew someday that I'd get home. He knew he'd work hard enough where I'd get home and be able to, you know, stay home with our kids. But he wanted that same lifestyle. And I wasn't being fair. I was being a little bit selfish. And I thought, you know what? I need to look at this business opportunity, and I need to give it a shot. I need to be a little bit more open-minded. And I remember seeing it from Gerald and Leslie, and instantly falling in love with Leslie and Gerald both. And I thought, you know, gosh, he's a doctor and he sees something in it. I mean, he's making a pretty decent income, but he had no lifestyle. You know, he had style, but he had no life. You know, it's funny, because there's life, there's style, and then there's lifestyle. I wanted the lifestyle. You know, there's people that have a life because they have no money and they can't do anything. And then there's people who have style, who have a lot of money but no time. And I looked at this business where it could give you both. And that was the lifestyle I wanted. And I saw Gerald, and he was spinning the dream, and you could just see he was excited about where he was going. And I thought, you know, maybe. I was getting a little warmer, but not completely. And I remember them telling me, "You got to come to this winter conference that's going on." And I'm like, "Well, where is it?" And they're all in St. George, Utah. I said, "Oh my gosh, it's cold up there in January, you know? I didn't want to go." And I remember Gerald and Leslie, you know, promoting it, and Nick promoting it, and basically he dragged me there. And that was my first experience for a big function. So if someone's going to drag you in June, let them drag you, okay? Because it's an experience you won't forget, and it was an experience that changed my mind. It changed my mind, gave me a bigger picture. I started getting a little bit excited. It took me a while. You know, I wasn't listening to the tapes, and I wasn't reading the books, and I was just kind of just doing enough to get by. And then I remember Leslie building a relationship with me and taking me out to lunch and getting to know me as a person. And I got to know her as a person and thought, what a great person. Nothing like the people I worked with. Not that they were bad people. It's just they were truly interested, Gerald and Leslie, in our success and helping us succeed and become better people. And I didn't get that in my job. I don't know about you guys. And I thought, wow, this is different. This is nice. You know, people really like you for who you are. And I just remember them cheering us on through the crashing of the cars, and the driving the miles, and traveling, and having your kids, you know, don't go, mommy, and just all the things we went through, is our kids questioning us and why we were doing what we're doing. Because we were both working full time, and we'd come home, and I didn't get to take my nylons off. I had to keep them on because we were going to a meeting, you know. And sometimes it was tough. And I thought, you know what? We're paying the price. But it's much better than the price we were going to be paying for somebody else's lifestyle. I didn't want to work another 40, 50 years. I didn't have it in me. I just knew it. And I just knew if we hung on to Gerald and Leslie that we'd get a lot of things back that we were giving to somebody else. We'd get back a lot of choices. And that, to me, was probably the most important thing besides the money. You know, that's what got me excited was, oh, my gosh, money to bring me home. But then I realized it's more than that. It's more than that. It's meeting people. It's touching other people's lives. It's getting the time with our kids, watching them grow up instead of somebody else watching them grow up because they're at daycare. It was things like that that really expanded the vision of what this business was all about. And I know for me, when I saw the business, I didn't see what I'm seeing today or what I've seen over the years. And I'm sure for some of you people that have been involved, you're seeing a lot more than you did the day you saw the business. For those that are new or maybe just seeing right now, the income possibilities. But as you continue to build it, there'll be so many other things that will come into play and you'll go, wow, I didn't see this in the plan. And you'll be so thankful that you stuck it out and that, yeah, you became the 5% and you didn't listen to the other people and you would listen to people that were going where you wanted to be. And I jotted down some things that says what this business can do for you or what this business can give you. And it's kind of what it's given me and done for me and Nick, but it's also what it can do for you. And the first thing I wrote down was sense of accomplishment. You know, I'd go to work every day and you kind of did your thing, but I never really felt like I was accomplishing a lot. Just kind of doing my day-to-day thing. Getting involved in this business, I felt like I was accomplishing so much more because I was growing as an individual. I was becoming a better person. A sense of purpose, going out there and meeting people and having that opportunity to open their windows even wider and painting this picture of vision that, yeah, it's better than what you think it is. There's possibilities out there. A sense of self-esteem and self-confidence. See, that was a big one for me because I didn't have it. You know, I worked downtown, and I worked for a big loan company, and I had to get in the elevator a lot, and I hated getting in the elevator. You had to talk to people. I don't want to talk to anybody, you know? I just wanted to get on the elevator, push the buttons, go to the next floor. You know, that was just my insecurities, and this business has changed that so much for me. I still struggle with it every once in a while, but it's taken me places where I never thought I'd go, and I am so thankful for it because it has made me a better person. A wealth of knowledge, the things I have learned, the people I've met and what they've taught me. I mean, it's amazing. Listening to Randy and Val up on stage or John and Barbara, and to listen to them paint a picture and talk about different things. I've learned so, so much, so many priceless things. The best attitude, because you have the attitude of success. You have an attitude of where you're going in life. You have a vision. You have a purpose. You have a map. And you know where you're going. And the endless possibilities about how big your dream can be. You know, Nick and I would dream, you know, we'd look at the map every once in a while and say, let's go here, 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 here. Then after a while, we just kind of put that map away because we thought, gosh, when are we going to have time to do that? When are we going to have the money to do that kind of traveling? And then you had kids. Oh, okay, well, there goes all your money. You know, forget that. And then what this business can give you, for me and for Nick, it's been having the time with our kids to see the smiles on their faces along with the tears, knowing that I was there when they came home from school. I was the first person they got to talk to when they got in the car. How was your day? Sometimes it took them a little while to tell you, and other times it was like, okay, too much information, especially when you have a teenager. A little more information lately than I want to know. But you know what I'm so thankful for is that she talks and that I'm there to listen. Being able to go on field trips, Nick and I both, having that opportunity to do that, and helping out at school, special talks late at night with my teenager or in the car. Having that time that I wouldn't have had if I had a job because she'd be getting a ride with somebody else or she'd be walking home and going home to an empty house waiting for mom and dad to come home. Going to Disneyland for the third time this year, I should say Disney World, for the third time this year for cheer competition and being able to do that and not have to worry about taking time off of work. It was so funny. Amanda and I were in Disney World and Nick and my other one, Madison, were in Disneyland because it was her birthday when we were gone. And so we're calling from, you know, Disney World, and you on the Matterhorn, you on Space Mountain, you know, it was wonderful. And I thought, you know what? That's why we built the business. It's for times like this. Put my teenager on a plane to go to Washington, D.C. and New York for 8 days. That was a little scary. They have an eighth grade trip that they were able to go on. It was optional. And I was telling Chris and Lisa at dinner, I said, you know, we could have wrote a check, paid for it, no problem. But I said, you know what, Amanda, we've got a big year going on. We've got a lot of things happening. You just came back from Florida. We're on a cruise. We're doing this. We're doing that. And now you want to go to Washington, D.C. I said, you know what? You can go, but you need to pay for half. But, Mom, you know, you guys got the hip thing going with the girls, you know? And I looked at her, and I said, you know what? If you pay for half, you're going to appreciate it a lot more. You're going to appreciate it because you've earned it. She washed cars. She babysits for us. We did lots of recycling. I don't want to see another can or bottle as long as I live. You know, I mean, loading them up in the car. But she took a sense of ownership of what she wanted to do, and she raised $1,000. You know, she gave me the last 58 bucks right before she left. You know, and I learned that listening to Randy and Valerie talk. You know, they have their kids pay for things, and trust me, they're a lot better off than we are by far, you know. But they've taught their kids a sense of how to have work ethic, how to earn something and appreciate. And I'm so thankful. And that's one of those things that you learn, the knowledge that you learn when you build this business. And hearing my daughter call us on the phone when she's at Ground Zero crying because it's touched her so deeply to be there. And I thought, man, those are memories that we were able to give our daughter because we built this business to a point where we're able to afford to do that. And that stuff, you guys, that's priceless. And you don't see that when you first see the business. And hanging out with Nick during the middle of the week, going golfing. You know, I'm a golfer now, I think so. I've been taking lessons with my golf pro. Her name is Holly also. Says I'm doing pretty good. In fact, Nick's taking lessons now, too, because he's afraid I'm getting better than he is. I think he's right. I'm getting pretty darn good, no? But it's times like that. Yesterday, we went out with Amanda, Nick, and I, because our other daughter was at Brownies. We went and hit some balls at the driving range, took her to lunch, hung out with her for a little bit. You know, you got to do that a lot when you have a teenager, kind of just keep a lot of communication going and stuff. But we're able to do that because we built the business to a place where we're able to have that freedom and that lifestyle. And we're not done. We want to have a diamond lifestyle because there's so many other lives that we need to touch. Because this business opportunity is amazing. You know, being cookie mom, being room mom, being soccer mom. You know, all those things. I mean, you know, did cookie mom this year, and I tell you what, I had hundreds and hundreds of Girl Scout cookies in my garage, you know. And my little one, Madison, she's like, hey, Mom, I'll help you sort. I thought, is this going to be a good thing or a bad thing? You know? Are they all going to get the right thing? We had the best time, and she was such a good helper, and we hung out, we had a good time, and it's just things like that that I wouldn't trade for nothing. And like Nick says, we have had obstacles, we've had groups fall apart, we had times we questioned if what we were doing was the right thing. And this is just a small bit of what we were able to do, and this is a small part of what you're going to be able to do if you choose to build this business to a point where it's going to give you time, it's going to give you the money, it's going to give you the choices. And you know, you guys, the people that are across the stage, you know they're out there doing the work. I think pretty much everybody in this audience crossed the stage tonight. It was so cool. But they're out there, they're running the roads because they made the decision that this is what they're going to do the rest of their lives. And this is what Nick and I have decided many years ago, you know, just to say, okay, Jerry and Leslie, we surrender. Tell us what we need to do because we're ready to run the roads, we're ready to make the decision, we're not going to look back, we're going to burn the boat, because we want a lifestyle, we want to have time with our kids so we can enjoy, have time with our moms and dads to go on trips together. Things like that, that I don't want to wait till they were too old to do that. I want to be able to do it when they were young and we were young, to enjoy each other's company. And it's things like that that, at least for me and Nick, it fires us up. I don't know what your hot button is, what's going to get you guys excited to move on and build this business. But I just want to encourage you guys, do whatever it takes. Hang on to the leadership up here because they're awesome. They're having fun. They know how to build it, and they want to see you guys succeeding at this. If I can read you something real quick, I'm going to bring up Nick here because we're running out of time. This is something someone sent me. It says, the road to success is not straight. There's a curve called failure, a loop called confusion, speed bumps called friends, red lights called enemies, and caution lights called family. You will have flats called jobs, but if you have a spare called determination, an engine called perseverance, insurance called faith, and a driver called you, you'll make it to a place called success. Take control of your life, you guys. Go out there and build this business big, 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 big. We love you. It was great sharing with you. And here's Nick.
You didn't tell him about the negative part, huh? It's really amazing because when I first saw the business, I came home and I was revved up. I was so excited. And I couldn't wait to tell Holly about it. She looked at me, she says, "We're not doing that. You're not talking to any of my friends about that." And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a little bit. But after several months, she'll tell you it was six, but it was more like nine. After about 9 months of me being out there with Gerald and Leslie and building the business and making some things happen, she finally saw my commitment. You know, some people kind of just watch you for a while. You know, if you can't beat them, you end up joining them. You know, and she was waiting for me to start and quit. But I think what ended up happening is she realized that I was going to stick this thing out whether she did or not. And she said, "Fine, I'll help you. Just never expect me to talk to anybody." And she does a pretty darn good job of doing it, don't you think? I mean, just... But it's easy to share what you believe in, right? I mean, it really is easy to share what you believe in. And obviously she believes in this. It's made a big difference in our lives. And we hope that it'll do the same for your lives as well. So, hey, real quickly, my background was, I told you guys this afternoon, the scholastic end of things just wasn't my deal, right? I mean, I just didn't do real well with it. In fact, I tried to go to junior college, but I spent more time at the beach for those couple of years at junior college. And so I kind of practiced the same things through high school and a couple of years at JC. And eventually, mom and dad got wind of it and said, "Hey, look, you're living home. You have to figure something out. You have to get a full-time job or move out," right? And so I was 20 years old. Mom gets me started in banking. She knew a manager, and I interviewed with the manager and got this job as a teller. And mom and dad had a good work ethic. And so once I had a job, I did pretty well. You know, I showed up every day, worked hard, put some hours in, those kinds of things, and got promoted to supervision, eventually to management, ran a marketing department, or was assistant manager of the marketing department eventually. They gave me a salary, right? And I talked about that this afternoon. Some of you guys have had salaries before. You know, it was the first time in my life where I realized, my gosh, the salary isn't what I thought it was. You know, when I figured out my hours that I was working again, the amount of money they were paying me on the salary, what they expected from me, I really got a pay cut. And about that point in time, my dad had this construction business, had it for many years. In fact, he always encouraged us. His idea was go to school, get an education, and do something else. And it's really interesting when I look back how my dad kind of had that philosophy, because owning his business, actually the business owned him, maybe he realized that he could never really walk away from it. So he thought us getting education more than he had would be a good thing. And going out and pursuing some area of a career and working for a company would be great, like banking. He really supported that. And so I came to him, I said, "Hey, Dad," I said, "look, I'm on a salary. They've given me a title. I'm coming in real early in the morning. I'm staying home late at night. My income is restricted based on what they think I'm worth. I would at least like the opportunity someday to be able to earn what I think I'm worth. And the only way I can see doing that is owning my own business." And so I thought, again, he had his own business. So I looked at Dad and said, "Hey, look, you've been in business for a while. You've done well. You've got a nice home, a couple of nice cars." I forgot that he was up at 60 years old at 5 o'clock every single day. He was home at 6 o'clock every single night. When the men were in bed sleeping, he was actually estimating till midnight more jobs for the future to keep the men going. Right? I didn't know that. And so he tried to discourage me and discourage me and discourage me. I said, "No, Dad." I said, "I'd like to learn from you. You're one of the best in San Diego at what you do. I'd like to learn from you." And finally, I started with my dad, started from the ground up. I was mixing material, bringing it in wheelbarrows to the plasters, and eventually started plastering, became a foreman, started running his jobs. And I got more involved in the office work and what was happening behind the scenes. And I started to realize what my dad had his hands on or what he didn't have his hands on. See, I thought my dad didn't have a boss, and then I started to learn that he did. That every time he actually had a job, he had to answer to a homeowner or a contractor. And his income was determined by what they thought he was worth. In fact, they actually used other people as leverage to bring his price down. "Hey, Joe, if you want the job this bad, this other person's going to do it for this amount. We need you to negotiate your price." And sometimes he would have to do that just to keep things going. And he'd have vacation times, but they have a deadline. If Dad didn't finish the job at a specific time, they would back charge him if the job wasn't finished when he said he would. And so sometimes he'd have to cancel vacations because of it. And about that point in time in my life, I was realizing that I needed to find something. I didn't know what it was going to be, and so I was one of those guys that was staying up watching television. You guys remember the guy with the yellow jacket selling real estate, you know, the 1-800 number deal? I mean, all that kind of stuff. Anybody else do that but me? So I'm clicking the channels, you know, late at night, Friday and Saturday night, you know, just vegging out in front of the television set, my mouth drawn open, catching flies, my dad used to say. Catching flies again, are you, Nick? You know, and just changing the channel. And so as this TV commercial, this infomercial is going on, I'm starting to think about, gosh, would this be an opportunity? You know, I've heard about diversifying income. I've heard about, you know, making more money in other areas. These people are on this television set looking really good and fancy and those kinds of things. In fact, I sent away for a couple of these items. You know, I sent out for a real estate deal, and then they had people calling me and said, hey, look, we can be a coach for you for another $5,000. You know? And so they get you with this misleader. You know, they get you in at the low fee, but if you're really going to do something with it, they want to coach you for another $5,000. And then how many people really do something with it? And so I try something else and something else. And about that point in time, my brother Joe called me and said, hey, look, this doctor who delivered Danielle, who is his daughter, actually has a nurse in the hospital, her and her husband, that they're in business with. Looks like a real, real exciting idea. There's a lot of money to be made, and it looks really promising. You need to see what's going on. And I looked at him and said, Joe, you're still in school. I said, you've got a condo. I've got a house. We've got a couple of nice cars, and they're way better than yours. What the heck can you offer me? I mean, that was kind of my attitude. Nice brother I am, right? Some of you have that attitude. Some people you're talking with have had that attitude. And so I said, I don't need anything, but I did. You know, I was in denial, the river in Egypt, right? And so I'm in this denial stage of my life. I didn't want anybody to know what I really was feeling like. And so he calls me back on the telephone a couple of weeks later. He says, Nick, he said, you need to see this business idea. I said, Joe, I said, I've got something going on the same night you invited me to see this idea. And he says, well, cancel it. And I thought, cancel it? Cancel what you have for what I have going on? But at that point in time, I thought, man, this guy believes in something. He's asking me to cancel something because he believes in a lot. It's kind of set me back just a little bit, just a couple of steps. Not to the point where I wanted to see it, but the point where I started thinking about it. And a couple of days later, my younger brother, Frank, who actually got involved in the business with my brother, Joe, comes up to me and gives me his audio. And he says, Nick, he says, you need to take a look at this thing. I said, what are you talking about? He says, Joe's been calling you a couple of times. Why don't you get in front of this thing? It looks really promising. There's a lot of money to be made. Oh, Frank, you're still living at home with mom and dad. I'm married, got a house, you know, got a baby. I said, Joe's living in a condominium. He goes, Nick, we're going to get rich. I said, yeah, right. 20 years old, you're going to get rich. You know, and I'm just mocking him and laughing at him. So he puts a CD in front of me. He says, hey, Nick, he says, look, he says, I'm 20 years old going on 21. He says, I own my own business. You don't. You still work for dad. Now, the reason why I say that to you is because I saw this belief, didn't I? I saw this young guy who's my younger brother. I'm 10 years older than he is. He's 10 feet taller than me, but okay. Actually stand up, you know, shoulders back, his head held high, looking me in the eyes, telling me that he believed in this thing. So I took the CD home and again realized that my mindset has been in this infomercial stage, right? I knew there's things out there. There's got to be different ways of making money. But for me, I was always the kind of guy that knew that, you know, if I started my own business, I felt comfortable starting a business with my dad, you know, not with my dad, because it was his business. I felt comfortable learning from my dad on how to own and operate a construction business, right? A plastering business, right? And that's okay, because I can learn from somebody that way. You know, I would feel comfortable in getting involved with somebody, you know, that maybe I had a franchise and they're willing to mentor me in a franchise kind of business. If I can come up with $1 million and someone can train me and educate me, that'd be okay, because it's already established, right? But when you get these infomercial kind of things, the little fly-by-night things that say, look, here's the package, go. I just wasn't good that way. I was a kind of on-the-job training kind of guy. And when I saw this opportunity and finally went to my brother's house, they had set out all these chairs. It was like 10 of these white chairs in his condominium. And I'm walking in, and I'd been grubby all day after construction, unshaven for about a week. I still had holes in my pants, and I probably had cement still on me because it was 6 o'clock meeting. I had just gotten home. He said, please come. So I came. And I walk into the house with the attitude that I had at that point in time, and I see all these empty chairs, and I'm thinking, where is everybody? And he goes, well, they're not coming. Great business, Joe. All right? And they have this whiteboard set up. It's over here in the corner, and Leslie's over here, and Holly's at home. My little baby's at home, and I'm sitting there in the chair, and they introduce formally this doctor. My brother Joe gets up and says, hey, look, Nick, like he's talking to everybody else. Nick and everybody else who's not here. Okay? This is Gerald Emery. He's a real successful guy. His background is a physician, but he's building the business in which he's diversifying his income, and he's making more money in this business than he does in medicine. Here's Gerald. Okay? And then Gerald gets on this board, this whiteboard. He starts drawing, you know, how and why, and starts talking about this dream thing and hope, you know. And I'm thinking, and I'm listening to him, and I'm kind of getting excited. But what I saw from Gerald was the third time I've seen belief. And I saw this fire in his eyes. Have you guys ever looked at somebody and you can look into their eyes and you just believe that they believe so much in what they're doing? You just know that they believe in what they're doing? And this belief was coming out of his eyes, and he's writing on this board. He's talking about what life is going to be like and what freedom's going to be like and how this business is going to add to their income and him traveling the world with his brother-in-law, Lance, and his sister-in-law, Tracy, and his wife, Leslie. They're going to be on yachts and these kinds of things. And he's kind of just getting me thinking a little bit because I thought like that at one point in time. Right? And I'd listen to this audio I was telling you guys about, and on that, it talked about where things are going, where trends were going, and Gerald kind of reinforced that, reiterated a lot of that when he showed the plan. And in about 15 minutes into that, Gerald kind of caught me, and I told you guys this afternoon, he had read enough books, like How to Win Friends and Influence People, and maybe The Magic of Thinking Big, and Read and Grow Rich, and, you know, Five Love Languages, and, you know, Personality Profiles. And he had read these books and he'd kind of built himself enough with these CDs in the system that he kind of almost captured me. You know what I mean? He was kind of the kind of guy that I felt like I could actually be a friend with and be in business with and I can trust. And so by the time 15, 20 minutes went by, I had sat forward in my seat and I got excited. For the first time in many, many years, I thought to myself, what if I can put a couple years into something above me on what I'm doing now and I can have the rest of my life to myself and my wife and my kids? What if I can do that? What if I can play golf with my dad when he's young enough and I'm young enough to enjoy his company? I didn't realize at the time Holly's going to take golf and golf lessons and everything else. It was my dad I was thinking of. But you know, that's an incredible benefit to be able to go during the middle of the week with your wife. To be able to take golf lessons because she's getting so good, you just need to compete with her still. You know, we're going on a cruise with the family. My mom and dad are actually, with my wife, my kids, my mom and dad are going to go as well. They're going to join us this year, and we're going to play golf in the Caribbean a couple of times. My wife, me, and my dad. You know, and I'm excited about that. And I didn't see any of that kind of stuff. Those are things that I just hoped for. And so I get lit up about this thing, and I come home and I tell Holly about it, and she didn't see what I saw. And I know a lot of you are here maybe, and your spouse isn't here, or your, you know, significant other, your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it might be, isn't here. You know, and what happens is one of us sees the plan, the other one tries to explain what it is that we saw, and it's hard because we don't really understand what we saw except hope. Right? And if they don't see that whole picture, they may just get a piece of it, but they're not seeing what's in it for them, they're just maybe seeing what's in it for you. And I think what scared Holly was this, is that she was working full-time, I was working full-time, and I thought, she thought, we don't have enough time to do anything else. You're already working Saturdays. You're already working Sundays. How can we take on something else? But I realized that if we didn't do something else, that I was going to work until I was dead. It was going to happen. We'd work until we were dead. You know, we saw the writing on the wall that people worked and worked and worked and worked. They become 65, 70 years of age, and where they thought they were going to be isn't where they wanted to be. I remember looking back at mom and dad's homes, aunts and uncles' homes, families, my friends' parents' homes. 20 years sometimes. Think about this. You can revisit your parents' homes 20 years later, and their furniture hasn't changed. Why is it? Still got shag carpet. I mean, you guys are joking because you're relating with this, aren't you? I mean, isn't it kind of interesting when you really look at life and you kind of evaluate things, you say, man, look at this. Look at the situation, the circumstances these people are in. Isn't it very similar where they were at 10 years earlier? 20 years earlier? 30 years earlier? See, life goes by. It happens with or without this business. So why not happen with this business? And for me, I'm probably pretty lazy. I'd rather be fishing, golfing, wakeboarding, boating, out with my wife and kids. I would rather do all that kind of stuff. And I thought, you know what? If I can get up to that darn alarm clock for the next 2 or 3 or even 4 years, whatever it's going to take, and I can go ahead and hit that snooze button like I'm doing 3 or 4 times and just push it to the limit, just keep stretching it, show up at 7:03 and my dad can keep yelling at me, get home at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, tired, And instead of cracking open a beer and putting my feet on the couch and just kind of ignoring my kids and my wife, get in the shower, change, and go out and talk to somebody about this business, I'll work hard for the next 2 to 5 years so I can be lazy for the rest of my life. Okay? No one ever told me and no one ever told you guys that this was going to be an easy thing to do. The hardest thing that you're going to have is what's between your two ears. That's the most difficult thing you'll ever have to overcome. I went out there and I talked to other people when I first saw this idea. Man, I took polls. I talked to my coworkers. And I came back and I had listened to these CDs and I got excited about the CDs, right? I went to these meetings. I got around Gerald. I met Lance and Tracy. And I got excited about maybe the possibilities and the belief. Their home was very similar to our home. Their cars similar to our cars. Yet he didn't have to get up every single day and to an alarm clock like I did. And so we went out there and I started talking to some people at work. And the people that I worked with were making $30,000 and $40,000, maybe $50,000 max a year. And I came back frustrated. Sometimes I'd come back and I'd call Gerald and say, "Hey, Gerald, I just don't think it's going to work out. You know, so-and-so's not interested." He says, "So?" I said, "What do you mean, so? Gerald, they said it's a pyramid." He says, "Nick," he says, "do you know what a pyramid is?" I says, "Yeah, they're illegal." He says, "You know, a pyramid is just a structure, isn't it?" He said, "Isn't that why people go postal?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Aren't most jobs very narrow at the top?" He said, "Isn't that why people start eliminating the people at the top so there's a little bit room to squeeze in?" So he told me that it's not a pyramid that's illegal, it's a pyramid scheme that is. And there's a lot of crud out there. And so sometimes when I talk to people about this business idea, they were thinking that what I was participating in was going to be a pyramid scheme. And Gerald had to educate me on why it wasn't. He had to explain to me that, "Nick, our business works way different than that. Our business rewards the person that makes the most, not who gets in first." And I had to ask him about that. I had to educate myself about that. Because if I went ahead and listened to those people, where was my income and my mentality going to be in the next 10 years? Exactly where they're at. If I continue to listen to those people, would I be any better off than where I was at? I needed to start listening to people that thought differently than those people, that wanted to separate themselves from 95%. Gerald taught me, says, "Nick, go out and look at what everybody else does. Study them. Look at what the majority does and then just don't do it." Pretty simple, right? Pretty darn simple. And so he explains to me this pyramid thing. He says, "Nick," he says, "our business is like McDonald's." He says, "If I buy McDonald's today and you buy yours 10 years from now, and 2 years from now your McDonald's has more volume than my McDonald's, who makes more money?" "Me." He says, "You get rewarded for how big your business gets, not when it starts." He says, "Our business puts bonuses aside. If I want to become an emerald business owner, I'm going to get bonuses set aside for being an emerald. If you want to become a diamond business owner, you're going to get bonuses set aside for being a diamond." He says, "I'm going to wave the checkered flag and do everything I can to help you." You know why, Nick? Because that volume is going to come through my business. I might get a smaller percentage on your volume, but as your volume grows, my income grows and my grandchildren sleep better at night. Does that make sense?" He explained that we don't make money off each other. You guys know the plan. There's 65% lost in overhead and advertising and everything else. When you buy something at the store, what do they get? A check or cash. In return, what do you get? Merchandise. 65%, they mark it up with all the employees, taxes, lighting, insurance, everything else. They mark it up. They glitter it up. You and I pay for that, don't we? So now what they're saying in our plan is saying, "Hey, look, we'll discount the products an average of 30%, and the remaining 35% is where your income is going to come from. So the money we make is off the moon on the products, just like in the store, not off of each other." Pretty simple, isn't it? And I started to learn. I started to educate myself. I started to realize that people just don't know what they don't know, because if they knew, then they'd do. And to know not to do is not to know, you know? I started to realize that I need to make some decisions for my life and my family and my children and my grandchildren. And if I was going to determine all my decisions on what somebody else thought, then I was going to be broke my entire life. And then I went and talked to some more people. I don't know why I kept talking to the same people. Because they see it said things like it's going to get saturated. Is that ever something that comes up in your mind? Has there anybody in this room that's thought about that? Just me then? Okay. Should I just skip it? Maybe you'll hear it. And it's funny because everyone's got an answer to something. For some people, the glass is half empty or it's half full. Whether I laid a McDonald's franchise in their lap or not, they're going to tell me it wasn't going to work. Have you guys ever heard the story about the crabs in the bucket? You put a bunch of crabs in the bucket, and when one tries to reach itself and crawl out of that thing, the rest just pull it back in, don't they? And that's kind of happens with life, doesn't it? As you kind of separate yourself just a little bit, maybe in your mentality and where you're going, in your dream and in your vision and your cause and all those things, sometimes people consciously and unconsciously will start to pull you back. Because if you step out and you win, they look like losers. Don't they? And so I had these, I came and they say, oh, you gave me another half-empty excuse. And I said, well, what do you mean saturation? Well, if everybody gets involved in that thing, it won't work. So I go talk to Gerald. Nick, what's your ethnic background? Italian. How long have the Italians been around? Thousands of years. So they saturated the world population yet? I thought about it. I actually told him, I think they've tried. But his point was, he said, if you can't saturate an ethnic background in 4,000 years, how can you saturate a business in 4.5? See, he says, Nick, he says, you can make excuses, or you can hear excuses, or you can make money. You just can't make both. See, people don't know what they don't know because if they knew, then they do. And to know not to do is not to know. You know? Anyway, you'll figure it out. So then we talked to my mom and dad a little bit, and they were a little concerned because I was working full-time. My wife was working full-time. We were already away from our kids and each other for 12 hours a day just about. Sometimes I was out on Saturdays, and the kids were with Holly, and my relationship with my daughter wasn't growing because I was working a lot. And now mom and dad become a little concerned, and it's not that mom and dad don't want us to do things. Sometimes your family actually loves you, and they think they're doing you a favor by trying to talk you out of it. They don't want you to get hurt. Oh my gosh, you're doing so much already. Poor kids. I don't want you to work so hard. I mean, it's innocent, isn't it? And what happened was this, is that, again, I saw where my mom and dad were at. My mom is still working at a bank at 65 years old. The income that she's going to make in retirement is 1/3 of what I make annually, whether I built this business or not. If I stop now, I've done. I've already outdone what she's going to do. You know, and it's the thing that I wanted to just share with you guys is this, is that as people share these kinds of things, sometimes it is to hurt you, and it's malicious, and other times it's just because people just don't know what they don't know. Because if they knew, then they do. And to know and not to do is not to know. So we tied in the system. Started listening to these CDs. Randy and Valerie Halga, John and Barbara Stims, right? I mean, all these people, and I started listening to these people, and I started to listen to Millionaire Mentality. Started to read books like The Millionaire Next Door. You know, the greatest salesman in the world. The title is a little deceiving. You need to read that book by Ogbendino. It's an incredible book. You know, I started to read other books about becoming leader, The Magic of Thinking Big, 24 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. And these are the books that are promoted in the business. And it started to help me understand that there are success principles in life that people that are successful have followed, whether in this business or another business. And this was a vehicle that I chose because I can grow from the inside. And by growing from the inside, it's obvious I wasn't going to grow on the outside, but at least physically. But as I had personal growth on the inside, the short little Italian might be able to relate with some of your tall, good-looking people. more intelligent than me. You know what I'm saying? And so we started to tie into the system. We got excited about it. And then, you know, we started to contact more people and we started to build our business. And I wasn't really committed. Holly was still a little negative. And so I thought one night a week would be pushing it because divorce is right around the corner if I go any more than that. And so I went out with Gerald and Leslie one evening a week. But we started to hand out these videos with people and qualified them. And we gave these to people and we let them kind of decide if they were interested or not. And some of them were. And when they showed interest, we'd schedule a meeting. I didn't know how to show the plan, but Gerald was willing to show the plan for me. I was willing to work alongside him, learn what he was saying, watch how he answered questions, listen how Leslie was relating to people. And then when I wasn't willing to get back with these people, Gerald was willing to do that. But we started to watch the pattern that he was creating, what he's willing to do. And we started getting some people involved in this thing. And as we started getting people involved, Holly starts to think, man, maybe Nick's not as dumb as I thought he was. And that's about the time that she came around because she started to see Gerald and Leslie's commitment. She started to realize that Gerald and Leslie are paying money to babysitters to watch their children, putting gas in their car to help us build our business. Hey, we just started doing 50 points per month. Whippee! We just started doing 100 points per month. Yeah, they're getting rich on us now. You guys realize your support team doesn't get rich on your 100 points or your 2 or your 3. You keep most of your money. That's how the business works. You always get the majority of the income. But the way that we all win is by putting hundreds of people in these businesses, right? Gerald's goal was to help us establish business partners of more than 100 people. He wanted to help us make $3,000 a month because when he did, and Leslie did, they were going to get bonuses set aside for helping us make 300. Maybe that might equate to about 900 bucks a month. I remember looking at Gerald. I says, when you help me do that and you get 900, I said, that 900 doesn't come from my 3,000, right? He goes, no. He said, it's money set aside because I helped you succeed. When you win, I win. And we start to build this business and put some things together. And we started to kind of have some bumps in the road. Because as I was reading these books, we had some growth going on in the business, and I wasn't really consistent. I kind of read enough of them to kind of get things going, and Gerald was really more committed than I was. And I was telling you this afternoon that people never really quit. They just kind of fade away. They stop coming to a meeting, they stop listening to CDs, and they just start fading. And over a period of about 30 or 40 days, we were about 4,000, actually over a period of about 9 months, we were at 4,000. And over a period of about 30 to 60 days, that volume dropped down to about 600. And about that point in time, remember I told you about my brother Joe and my brother Frank? The ones that told me, hey, Nick, we're going to get involved in this. We're going to become millionaires. We're going to go ahead and be able to do a lot of things together. Our kids are going to grow up together. We're going to travel the world. We're not going to have a job. We're going to have freedom. We're going to be able to do a lot of stuff together. At that point in time, my brothers quit the business. Man, it hurt real bad. You know, because I remember people telling me, hey, look, that thing will never work. And at that point in time, I thought, maybe it won't. My brother Joe and Frank certainly thought it wouldn't. But then again, I remember other people on CDs that thought differently than the other people who tell me it wouldn't work, tell me that it would. And at certain points in time in the business, you might have a struggle, or two or three. And at some point in time, you put your tail between your legs and you can leave. Or you might put your head down, your butt up, and dig in and move on. So Holly and I went to our next business development seminar just ourselves, and we had 30 people a couple months before that. So we go to the business development seminar, and I told Holly, I says, they're going to be right, or we're going to be right. And it's our decision. So Holly and I end up deciding we're going to build a business. I listened to more than I've listened to before in my life. I was starting to read more than ever because I realized that I needed to continue to grow on the inside, that maybe the group that I had with just me and Holly really represented how far personal growth I've attained to that point in time. Maybe it did. Because Gerald told me one time, he says, your business at some point in time will reflect the amount you've listened to, the amount of books that you've read. So maybe it was reflecting exactly how committed I was to this business. So there's a gentleman that actually landscaped, and I'm going to start wrapping this thing up here in a second, guys. There's a gentleman that actually landscaped our home. It's about 5 years before we saw the business. We're involved in the business now for about a year and a half, maybe a little bit less than that. I see him driving on the road, see his truck. I, of course, recognize him. I know his name. You know, his name's Rich. His wife was, it was Angie. He was actually dating at the time, Rich McClanahan. He had his phone number on the side of the truck. So I didn't have his phone number anymore. And I see his phone number, and I said, you know, I'm going to call that guy. And I get on the phone that night, and I'm nervous, and I'm shaking, because now I just felt like I'm at zero again. And I remember Mom and Dad said, oh, poor you. So I get on the phone, and I call this guy, and again, I'm nervous. And I said, hey, Rich, how you doing? I said, yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. You know, how are things going? You and Angie get married yet? He says, yeah. He says, Nick, what's wrong? I said, oh, I'm just excited about talking to you. I said, I've got a really neat business idea, and I really want to share it with you. And he goes, is it that business? And I said, yeah, what do you know about it? And he says, you know, I saw that thing 2 weeks ago. He said, I got really excited about it. The person that got with me never got back with me. Nine months later, we were in platinum qualification with 200 people in our business. Today, Rich and Angie are sapphires. They've got one organization with a ruby in it, another with sapphire qualification, another ruby in that leg. Another one of the organizations leads to an emerald. You guys might have heard of them, Curtis and Debbie Spolar, who's got an emerald in one of his organizations, and who actually just broke someone in emerald qualification, four of the people in sapphire qualifications last month. Did it matter that we only had 30 people in our business after 9 months, and then zero after 11? It didn't matter, did it? See, we could have quit, like many do. And years goes by, and people say, hey, look, what do you think of that business? So I was involved in that business once. I had a little bump in the road, a little hiccup. Some people quit on me. It doesn't work. You can believe them. A quitter. Or you can believe someone that hasn't. See, some people will never know what they don't know. Because if they ever could know, then they do. But since they'll never know, they'll never do. And they'll never know. You know? Man, I could tell you more and more and more. I could tell you about a retirement party. I could tell you about all these other things that have happened in our lives. I could tell you how special it's been. Well, I'm not going to get involved in that because our responsibility tonight, if there is one, and there is one, our responsibility is to help you just get out of here knowing that maybe what you have your hands on is more than what you thought you had your hands on. Helping you understand that it's worth whatever you have to do to put this business together. You know, I love what Gary said earlier. You know, freedom isn't free. You know, we take advantage of the freedoms in our country. You know, I know Gary served in the military. We were at dinner with him talking about that. And I looked at him and I said, thank you, thank you. I've never served, but I, like many of you in this room, have probably taken our freedoms for granted. Being able to get up in the morning and jump in our cars, being able to do what we want to do. Having the privilege, going to work right now, that's what you have to do, many of you. You know, have the privilege to actually be able to earn an income. Be able to have the opportunity to own a home. Be able to have the opportunity just to kind of go into a store and feel like you're to come back out alive. Maybe have a cup of coffee and feel like you're going to live after you drink it. You know, men and women have fought for that freedom. They paid a price for it. And sometimes we've got to pinch ourselves just a little bit. Sometimes we've got to kind of look at what it is that we've been able to do. And this isn't about us. It can't be about us. You've got to understand that because we want to just share some of the things that have happened to us that you'll realize it's going to happen to you. And we pinch ourselves and go, my gosh, has it been worth it? Has it been worth being able to get up to my little girls' hugs in the morning and cook them eggs and take them to school and be in their classes and pick them in the afternoon with my wife has been worth being able to drop them off at school and maybe playing golf with my wife and my dad. Has been worth being able to take them out in the boat in the middle of the work week. Has been worth we've been able to go to Disneyland and Disney World. Has been worth us taking being able to take cruises, you know, to home so many different places around the world, taking them out of Jamaica on a cruise to the Caribbean this year. Has been worth all the snowmobiling trips and the relationships and the friendships. Has it been worth all that? And was there a price to be paid? Yes. Yes. I hope you have to pay one because freedom isn't free. But man, when you're free and you look back, you go, that was a price? See, you're paying it. You don't realize it right now, but you are paying it. And if you don't build this business, you'll pay it for the next 30 or 40 or 50 years. And you may not even set up a situation in which your kids can understand the difference or your grandchildren. And because you don't build this business, they're going to be paying it for the next 60 or 70 or 80 years. And their children will be doing it too. Some people think that we don't work hard. No, you'll work hard because you're going to have a full-time job and you're going to build this business over in the evening for the next 2 to 5 years. You'll work harder than most people will. For a short period of time. But after the next 2 to 5 years, when you are financially independent and you have a retirement party and you show up at 10 o'clock in the morning to your boss with your letter of resignation and the mistletoe on your rear end and you lay it on their desk. And you see the smoke coming out of the side of their ears and they're looking at their watch and you smile and lay it there without a comment and let the paperwork do the work. And the mistletoe on your rear end, you turn out around for the last time. Now, my boss is my dad, and I love him. So if you don't like yours, you do it and tell me how it was. Man, whatever price you're going to pay in this business, guys, it's going to be temporary. Are Randy and Valerie Haugen complaining about whatever price they paid to get the lifestyle they have today? You know, are Lance and Tracy Smith or Gerald and Leslie Emery or the Entzes or the Wolfensteins, are they complaining? Absolutely not. You look at them and say, did you work hard? Did you pay a price? They'll go, yeah. But nothing like the one you'll pay if you don't build this business. Last story I'm going to leave you is this. Because to me, the business is far more than money. Holly and I, when we first got involved in this thing, I saw $300 a month. That was my hope. Remember I talked about that this afternoon? My hope was $300 a month to be able to get enough income to be able to buy the car that we should have bought in the first place, right? So that maybe I didn't have to work a Saturday or a Sunday one time a month so that we can actually afford the car payment. And we started making $300 a month. We started to believe we could make $1,500. We start making $1,500, we start to believe we make $3,000. We start making $3,000, start to believe we make $4,000. Start to make $4,000, start to believe we make $10,000. We believe today that we're going to be multimillionaires with this business. I didn't when I first saw this business. I have no doubt it's going to happen now. But what I want to share with you guys is that we know and you'll know that the business is far more than money. You can never put a price on what this business can offer you. And every time you turn around and you look back, you go, man, I didn't see that in the plan. I didn't see that in the plan. I didn't see that in the plan. And this story just lives with me. For those of you that have young kids, it's one that I want to share with you, and I'll leave it with this. Leave you with this. Is when my daughter was 5 years old, my goal was to be able to be in her kindergarten class and take her to school and pick her up in the afternoon. Now, I had that so ingrained in my mind. It was stamped in my forehead. That's what I wanted. We had been in the business for about 2.5 years. We got to a certain point, 3.5 years. It was very interesting that about 5 years into the business, almost to the day, September, we were at finalized our Emerald qualification. My daughter had started school about a month earlier than that. I walked away from my job in December of that same year, and I was in my daughter's kindergarten class on that January of the next year. Now, the reason why I'm sharing that with you is two reasons. Is that when you set a goal and you've got a dream and you guys know what it is, you will hit it. My dream was so much that I wanted to be in her kindergarten class. That's what I told myself and told myself. And it's interesting how the business came together. We did enough things in the period of time to get there so that I could be with my daughter in her class, right? When I look back now, I wish that maybe I found something interim, because I knew that was definitely my dream, but what could I have found interim that might have motivated me to get this thing done sooner? See, some of you right now have a dream, but your dream might be 10 years off before you really feel like you need to fulfill it. Some of you might be getting older, you're looking down the road towards retirement, thinking, yeah, you know what? If I can get this thing in 10 years to where I'm making a good income with this thing, it'll subsidize my retirement. But what if you figured out something that's going to get you motivated now? So in the next 2 years, you don't have to worry about any subsidy. You can give your retirement check, your Social Security check to some charity because you don't need it. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is because that's twofold. You want to set your goals and find out what it is that you want and then find something interim so you'll run hard for it. Set those interim goals. But here's what happened for me is that my daughter, I was starting to teach her how to ride her bike or her bicycle, and she had training wheels on it. And so it was during the summertime, and our neighbors across the street, I won't mention their name, we had shared this business plan with them a couple of years earlier. And they actually had started the business and then decided that, you know, it just wasn't something that they wanted to continue seeing through, and they quit. And so about that point in time, Holly and I had a retirement party. We didn't have to get up and go to work anymore. And I was spending some time with my young daughter. And so I took her to school during the summer, and we actually started teaching her how to ride her bike. Nice flat area. Our home lives, you know, it's kind of on a hillside like this. And so we went to the school where it's nice and flat, took the training wheels, and I did this during this period of a week with her, and eventually took the training wheels off, right? Dad's, remember that? It's a great thing, right? So during that period of time, the next week, she goes, Dad, let's go to the school and ride a bike. And so I put her bike in the car, and the young boy across the street who is in Amanda's kindergarten class says, Nick, where are you guys going? I said, oh, we're going to go ride the bike at the school. He says, can I come? I'll bring my off-road bike. You know, I'm thinking, oh, man, he's got this big bike, right? So I says, well, he's got a nanny at home because his mom's working and his dad's working. I says, well, let's call your mom and make sure that it's okay with her. And so we did. It's okay. He gets his bike. He's got training wheels on this thing. So I put Amanda's bike in the car, no training wheels. His bike in the car with training wheels. I go to my toolbox and grab a crescent wrench. You guys know, right? Go to the schoolyard. Amanda's zipping around with no training wheels. This little boy's got his training wheels on. He's kind of wobbling back and forth. Eventually, figures out this little girl, same age as him in his class, is outdoing him. Hey, Nick, can you take off my training wheels? I take out the crescent wrench, take them off. I give this kid one push, and this guy was gone, man. He's skidding, pulling wheelies, high five, you know. He's high-fiving Amanda. They're just having a ball. He's zipping all over the place. And after a couple of minutes, I'm just enjoying this, right? And then it hits me. And I'm thinking, darn, what did I do? You know, did I take the joy of this kid's dad doing this with him? So we come home, and about that point in time, his mom's home from work, and he's all excited and says, Mom, I can ride the bike without training wheels. Let me show you. And they go in the backyard, and he shows her and everything. And the next day, I happened to be... He was outside playing, and a man was out playing, and I walked across the street, and I said, hey, how's it going, Tyler? He says, great. I said, what did your dad say about you riding with no training wheels? And he says, well, he said he was happy for him, but he didn't act like it. And it starts to hurt again. And then I thought to myself, man, we shared this business idea. We shared this business idea with them. If we didn't pursue this business, maybe some other dad that had might have been teaching my little girl how to ride a bike without training wheels. And I started to realize that there's points and times in your life where I knew that if I was working full time and I was building this business sometimes in the evening and being consistent with it, that I might miss out on what I was going to miss out during the day. But my kids were in bed a lot of times during the evening. And if I didn't get this thing done, I was going to miss the best hours of their life, the rest of their lives. Because there's a lot more life left. And if your kids are already grown, you've got grandkids, darn it. You've got husbands and wives. There's places for you to go and people for you to see and things for you to do and accomplishments that you haven't even scratched the surface yet for you to enjoy. But I know now, more than ever before, that you need this business in order to get all the things that you want. So we hope, we pray that you invest in this business and take advantage of your support team, the leadership that you guys have on the stage, the system that's in place. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Is all you've got to do is get that dream in place and go out and get it. Expand the size of your dream every day. Expand the size of your dream every day. Man, spend the rest of your life chasing it. You know, live your life. Don't just exist through it. I mean, I've heard stories about people that have died at 25 and 30 and 45. It just took 30 and 40, maybe 50 years later for them to get buried. Don't be part of the world of the living dead. Be part of the living free. Have a good night. Yeah.